The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Just twisted in the wrong way. You know, like sometimes the, you know, batter's box are real tacky and things like that. So, you know, I just went to rotate, and the brace I wear is strapped around. So it kind of, you know, I torqued and my knee didn't, so it was kind of just one of those things.
Held off?
Yeah.
Is this going to mean different kind of brace?
I think we're talking about that now. I might have to use one that doesn't like strap, you know, each way. So, you know, we'll figure that out.
Hour number two, Zolak and Bertrand. That's Dustin Pedroia, Pete Abe, with some of the questions in that audio. Dan Shaughnessy, the Boston Globe, is with us in our Town Fair Tire Studios. Hi, Dan.
What's up, Beetle?
Hi, Dan. That was a lot of information from Dustin Pedroia, yeah. Wasn't it?
It's like, Mike Tomlin-esque.
How much information?
Batter's box is tacky?
Yeah, batter's box is tacky, and you got the double strap on one brace, and I'm going to have to wear a different brace.
The batter's box is tacky. The brace has straps, and it's the brace's fault. And what the hell are they doing with this guy? What is he doing? What is that?
Well, he should be doing it in the minor leagues. That's my conclusion at this point. Ooh. I mean, it's just hard to, you know, hard to carry him. And they're not carrying him right now. Of course, he's on the IL now. But if you can't play every day, it's got to be in the minors.
The brace kind of torqued and my knee didn't.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute.
It sounds like nonsense.
Where did this all come from if he heard a pop? I thought he heard a pop.
Yeah, it must have been the brace. The brace.
So all of a sudden you didn't hear the pop now, the little leader?
Oh, it was just the brace.
Oh, will you stop with this little leader stuff? You're so demeaning of that. I don't know why you hate this guy.
Whoever said the pop... Stop saying that I hate the guy, because you're putting words in my mouth, and hate's a bad word.
It's a demeaning term that you use.
When do I sit here and say
it is a sarcastic mocking phrase that you use.
It's like me talking about
the high chairs. You know, it's just a thing.
You know? Yeah, but
exactly,
we don't tell you.
Like
we all
know
what it is. Chastise you.
You can.
Yeah, but no. You have. Oh, you hate the crafts. So I guess you hate the crafts then.
No, but when you say, wow, you know, it'd be awful for it to end for him like this and blah, 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 that falls on deaf ears, because you've done nothing but make fun of the guy. For years now, when he left the game and he was put
so he's supposed
IL.
To take a victory lap when he breaks down. He's
no,
hurt.
But don't act like, you know, it's so sad and like, you know, like, yeah, you know, that's tough. That's, I mean,
well, you've been hearing a leadership thing for what, how many years now? And then
not a lot just, from him.
Sort of sour.
You know, again,
that's
come from outside for the most part. We haven't heard him say, "I'm the leader of this nine."
Well, he was the one standing there. Remember after the whole thing, I'm here. I'm facing everybody. Look around this clubhouse. I'm here talking.
Yeah,
he took accountability for that leadership role.
Yeah.
So that happened.
And I still think he was right on the Machado thing, too. You know.
Oh, I think he was, too.
You know,
that was all fair.
They totally bollocks that thing. And, you know, he was right. They shouldn't have thrown at him. When they didn't do it at the right time. You know, they totally messed that up. And that was Barnes. Anyway, ancient history.
It was a bad look for him to do what he did, though.
It was, yeah.
Even if he was right, which I think he was
right.
People are
still mad.
I don't think that Machado hit was dirty the way some other people do, but Machado has since done dirty things that make me think that he had some intent there.
Yes, validated that, yes. And if you go back to the Bobby V, you remember when Bobby V was hooting on Uke and he said, that's not the way we do things here?
Yes.
You know, I back him on that one, too. I tend to back him. I do. Because I think he was a really great player. He got a lot out of that body. What I'm seeing now, I wish it's hard to watch and it's hard to listen to.
Here's the question I have. Who in the organization is going to be willing to stand up to Dustin Pedroia? And I ask that question for this reason. Whether it be that he needs to be a AAA, like you suggested, or they need to move on from him and move on from his problems with his knee. Who is going to be the one that says and sits down Dustin Pedroia and says, Dustin, we just can't keep doing this.
Manager.
We can't keep having you come back, be back for a few days, have something go wrong with the brace or the knee, and you can't keep playing, and then we've got to put you back on the injured list. We just can't do this.
Yeah, when he's ready to play again, it's got to be in Pawtucket, in my view. And then when he can play every day, then you can give him a shot up here again.
Is
someone going to be willing to do that? Because
that should be.
They bent over backwards to get him here for opening day.
Yeah, that feels like what's
going on. At Fenway.
Yes.
Because he fought them when it was spring training. He thought he was ready to go opening day.
Yeah, he called them scared.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they stood up to him then, and then what? Found the middle ground? He'll be back for opening day at Fenway?
Until he's activated again, I think this is kind of, baying at the moon here. We don't know what they're going to do. If they activate him again, and we go back to this system that they've been doing since the start of the season, then I think it's a legitimate gripe. I just don't think they're going to. And again, to answer your question, Beatle, that's got to be either the manager, Alex Cora, or Dave Dombrowski. Say, you know what? Here's how we're handling this moving forward. Now, they're paying him anyway, but he can't be using up that one of the 25 spots for a second base position when you can't play every day. It makes no sense. The bench is too short already.
Well, the other question should be is what makes us think that he is at all a decent player when he gets back?
Yeah, it's hard to, we saw, three games last year. He's 2-for-20 this year. And then the knee gave out on him when he made the start. He's only started, I think, 3 games in the field, 6 games overall. And he's been useless to this point. Okay, so that's, everybody knows that. And again, when he says, I'm ready to go again, then it's like, you're ready to go in Pawtucket. Because we can't have, unless you can play every day, we can't have this.
And the only reason why he's allowed to do this is because they don't really have anybody else.
Well, that's true. It's going to be interesting with did they do the lineup for today? I mean, do we know who's playing second base?
I could check. I could take a look.
The kid whose name I can't pronounce. I think we're going to be seeing a lot of him there.
Lynn is going to play second in the first.
Okay, well, Lynn's a better fielder. Don't you want to see more of the other guy, though?
Chavis. At second base?
Yes.
I do.
Right? Why not? We had a weird body for second base, but we'll take it.
He's going to play third in the first game.
He's at third today.
Oh, good.
And we talked about this briefly yesterday, but Chavis should serve as motivation for Devers to get moving.
Yeah.
And get his offensive production going.
And oddly, Devers was motivated in the offseason. He dropped like 20 pounds. He looks a lot better.
He looks good, but
he's stealing bases now, but he has not hit a homer. And it's weird. He's hit with men on base, but he's knocked in like 2 runs. It's a very odd season for him. And, of course, in the field, makes an occasional spectacular play, and he's a butcher in a lot of routine balls.
617-779-0985. We're also going to get your calls on Bruins tonight, on everything we've talked about to this point. Dan Shaughnessy is with us for the next couple of hours. Nathan Eovaldi, how do you feel about that situation? He's going to go have surgery, as first reported last night by Ken Rosenthal. So he's going to be gone for a bit to get another loose body removed from his elbow.
Well, the question here is, the rush to give him all the dough and to fight off all the suitors. I mean, he made himself so much money in that one World Series game. Really.
He was good, though. I mean,
they got him for a bag of balls, and he had pitched for the Yankees and was under the radar. And everybody said, he throws 100, had 2 Tommy Johns, still young. He's in the zone a lot. I mean, his numbers aren't very good, his career numbers. If you look at his one loss, his, ERA, everything's kind of on the high side.
No, career underachiever.
Based on
his ability and his talent, he's had a lot of injuries to deal with, multiple Tommy Johns, the whole deal.
And a guy who's pitched to a lot of contact for someone who throws 100. He really has. So when he got him, remember he had like 3 really good starts and then 3 really bad starts? And
yes.
You kind of didn't know what you had, and it's, we'll make him a closer. Well, I don't know, with that arm and the history, like if that's the deal, but he does throw 100. And then he just walked into that game, never came out, and became this this hero, man of La Mancha, tilting at windmills. He was everybody's favorite guy. They lost the game, but nobody took it out on Nathan because he kept going out there and he was a team guy and he pitched a complete game in effect during relief, all that stuff. And then, oh, my God, he's going to be a free agent. Better lock this guy up. And it was, what, 17 a year for 4 years? It was really high.
Thought I could be north of that.
And do you think he could be a 17-game winner? And I know that wins are not the end-all, be-all.
No, I don't think he's going to hold up. I just, you know, and again, this thing is, for him, relatively minor. He said, you know, they take the pieces out, whatever. But I don't think medical people, they obviously had to do some due diligence on this before doing that. But I just think they were in a rush to sign Sale this spring, and they were in a rush to sign this guy before the open market last winter.
Yeah, you know, I don't think that this injury is that big of a deal.
Well, it's still, I think it's comes, 6 weeks, though.
I think he comes back in 6 weeks, and he's what he was before.
Okay.
If not better. I thought in his last start something did seem off. You know, something was slightly off with him in his last start. But if he comes back and he's better than what he was in the first month, and he's closer to what he was in the playoffs last year, or in certain stretches, because he is streaky, as you mentioned, I'm not all that concerned with this injury, this particular injury, the loose body injury.
The guy who's had two Tommy Johns and has loose bodies, I'm not.
That's just a scrub.
Yeah, but the loose bodies doesn't mean that the Tommy John isn't holding up.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that his arm is falling off.
Nope.
617-779-0985. So we got the Red Sox in the mix, too. Dan Shaughnessy is with us. Game 7 happening tonight for the Boston Bruins. And we'll also get to the Celtics a little bit with Dan as well, so don't go anywhere.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What's up?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Yeah, whatever.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Into call to Roan. He's got a dribble at the time. And let's party like it's 2001. The Bucks advance to the second round of the NBA playoffs, and they take on the Boston Celtics next in a best of seven. They get out the brooms, and they sweep the Pistons 4-0. Party like it's 2001.
What?
Yeah, exciting. It's been a long time.
It's the last time they won a playoff series.
What was number one on the hit charts back in 01? Awful. Awful call.
That was the call on Milwaukee radio last night as the Milwaukee Bucks completed their sweep of Detroit. They move on. So much for that being a deep series. Rooting for Detroit didn't help. So the two teams that have advanced in the NBA playoffs to the second round are the Celtics and the Bucks. Everyone else is still undecided to this point. Celtics and Bucks, that's the next series as expected. And you heard the crowds there last night in Milwaukee. We want Boston. They want Boston. Dan, I know that when we talked to you about this a couple of weeks ago, about the possibility of taking on the Bucks, you were very much afraid of the Bucks for the Celtics.
Yes,
Are you still feeling that way?
Yes. It's a tough series. I mean, at Toronto would have been tough too because they don't do well up there. But the Bucks series, I'm sorry, those guys are good. I mean, they had a great year, and they looked. You know, I watched that game last night, a lot of it, and I mean, it was a close game. Then they were up by 25, and they're on the road. And Detroit's not much. I mean, watching Blake Griffin dragging that leg around was painful. But no, it's a good deep team. They did good things during the season. We know Giannis is a handful. I guess Al's got to try to work. Everyone's going to have to guard him, but there's only so much you can do there. And he gets fouled a lot. There's going to be a lot of complaining about the free throws and the disparity with free throws. If the Celtics don't work hard, the Bucks will be at the line the whole game. You're going to hear about that. And Middleton did miss a shot last year when they played them. He still looks good.
So you're picking the Bucks, it sounds like.
If I had a gun to my head, yes, I would pick the Bucks in the series. Yep.
So did your opinion of what the Celtics are in the first series, did that change at all with the way they played?
I feel better, but again, they were behind in every game. They were playing the Pacers, who were a tomato can in that series without Oladipo. They were. And they were behind in every game. They had too many turnovers. Horford didn't shoot well. Smart's not going to play, as far as I can tell. But
They still went there, won two games, and finished them off and swept them.
They did.
But nobody's giving them credit
for it. No, you can't do more than sweep. I mean, they won all four games. So.
And they played like garbage in that first game. They still won by 10.
Yep.
It changed my mind. It changed my mind about this team.
They're capable. I mean, there's people saying they're in the finals.
Like, but Gordon Hayward.
The whole narrative from before the season started was they're in the finals. And some of that's come back now with some of those NBA experts and ex-players and like that, that don't sleep in the Celtics. They're the ones now. When you really look at it, they're going to be the ones. So they have the talent to be there. And I think that Brown and Tatum look like guys, they've kind of got the Kyrie mentality that the playoffs are more important, and you'll see more now. And I think we did. We saw a lot out of Brown. And then Tatum, he seems to ratchet it up. And Rozier had a good series, who I'm never big on, but he had a good series. So they look... They're not going to be embarrassed, in my view. They're going to be able to go with these guys, and they did beat them last year in seven games. But Milwaukee, they have a much better coach. Giannis has had a better year. They're deeper. I mean, even like Lopez, that's the kind of guy you want to have as a complimentary player up front. They have guys like that. I like their team. I do.
I don't know how you like them better. Then you like the Celtics better with Kyrie back and playing the way he's playing and playing with. Because I feel the same way. Like, it's not a pushover and it's not going to be an easy series. But based on what I saw in that first round, and as they were able to do, get those two road wins at the end when they were not a good, weren't a great road team this year. And I'm not saying they flipped a switch Patriot style. They didn't all of a sudden get healthy and find something, but they looked better than I thought they would. That's all. Yep. And my mind wasn't changed as much as, I have more confidence now in this Celtics team after watching that series. And I don't know how you don't, than I did before. Sure. And whatever changes Milwaukee has been through, I like the changes the Celtics have been through, even if they didn't all come to fruition during the regular season. The fact that they have Kyrie Irving this time around and Jason Tatum, and they're playing together, and Gordon Hayward.
Hayward
seems to have found a little something here too, a little bit more than he had in the past. I like the improvements and the changes more on the Celtics side than I do on the Bucks side. And if they beat them in seven last year, why wouldn't I pick the Celtics to beat them again? At the very least in seven, or I think it's more like a six-game series.
The Bucks were a lot better than they were last year. I mean, don't diminish the coaching either.
I was going to say, the fact that they have a real coach now, that does help in a pretty significant way. They had a much better season.
Yeah.
And I would say there's also this element and still the unknown as to whether or not they're going to get Brogdon back.
Right.
And if they do in this series, that could be damaging. I also don't fully believe what they're saying about it, though. Now, they're still holding this expectation there that he's going to make it back sometime in this round. But as of last night, there was talk out there that he hadn't scrimmaged yet. Mm-hmm. He hasn't really done anything yet. He has a tear of his plantar fascia in his foot. Yeah. I mean, it's been a couple of months. It's been months since it happened. So they're saying he's progressing and he's close to making his return. But we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens there. If he makes it back, those are some of the reasons why you could say, okay, they're going to make it back. They're going to have a much better series this time around than what they did a year ago.
So let's go in there and win one of those two. You're going to feel really good about it.
First one. I think they really need to get that
really
first.
Really good about that.
Get them thinking. Yeah.
It feels like it's probably not till Sunday. I think that the NBA wants Celtics, Bucks, and then Warriors on Sunday. That's what this feels like. I mean, it's going to take forever to have them announce it and forever to have it drawn out.
You like the 1 o'clock start?
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
I don't know. It feels weird.
I come to it. I'm always selfish. It's better for deadlines. I think it's good for us.
Oh.
Yeah. So, and you're not up till 2 in the morning. So those things are good. But for as a fan, just watching at home, 1 o'clock's not really doing it for you on Sunday. No.
617-779-0985. And, of course, Giannis is the matchup of the series.
I mean, if you let him go downhill, it's over. He's either going to get fouled or he's going to be able to do it. He's not a good shooter. He's still, he takes more than he should. I think there's probably an element of the smart feeling with their fans. It's like, nah, don't do that. He's got so much else. If he ever gets that thing, it's over. But he is, he makes everybody else better when he's inside the circle, and he passes pretty well. He's a force on defense. I mean, my goodness. I love that guy. He's 24 years old. Different player.
In the regular season, in the three regular season matchups, the Bucks outscored the Celtics 174 to 117 just on points that were either in the restricted area or from the free throw line.
Yeah, that's very believable. They dropped a game early.
What is that? Dominant.
I mean, that's Giannis. That's what that is.
Yeah.
I mean, and you don't have anything like that. I mean, you know, this is going to be a lot of work for the big Australian guys to get done here.
Yeah, but you got to keep it fresh. You dose them. Isn't this where like Stevens has the advantage, though? Like, I know their coaching is better. They got a better coach. But doesn't Stevens have the advantage as far as his ability to adjust within a series?
I hope he's got like the bodies, you know?
Yeah.
You need the bodies.
Well, the game that they won was the game that the Celtics dropped all those threes.
And
franchise record, 24 threes.
Milwaukee dissolved at the end of that game. They had very poor clock management, ball management. Everything at the end of that game went south for them. I mean, that was... And I said, they still haven't figured out how to close games. Well, they did after that.
Okay, here's what I want to know. Is there any reason to say at the end of this series that it was decided by the Celtics not having Marcus Smart?
It hurts him. I mean, because Smart's always on the floor at the end of games. He's so rugged.
Does not having Brogdon hurt the Bucks?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, then.
Would
you take that trade?
Out?
If you get offered that trade, right, in theory,
before
a series, you've got to drop Marcus Smart. They'll drop Brogdon. What would you do?
Yeah, like pretend they both got ejected the
first
minute. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, okay.
Would you take the trade?
Yeah, you'd take that.
You'd probably take the trade.
Yeah, do that. Yep.
So that's the only thing I just don't want to hear. Right. This series is not going to be about Marcus Smart not having Marcus Smart.
No, let's not tease.
There's going to be plenty of basketball for us to watch and dissect and talk about that has nothing to do with Marcus Smart not being on the floor.
Right. Fair enough. Don't be lining up the excuses before it even starts.
I think the Celtics can win the series, and I think they're capable of beating the Bucks.
I agree.
Whether or not they do, I don't know. Right now, based on the way they just closed and took care of business in Indiana, against Indiana.
We didn't
learn
that much in that series. I'm sorry.
We did not.
I feel we learned something about Kyrie Irving.
Well, he's the greatest playoff player ever. Ask him.
You're not. You're
I'm
saying
like,
that.
I'm like Zola.
Yeah. Why are you attacking Kyrie?
Why are you saying it like that?
It's just interesting, the numbers.
Why are you saying that? Why are you disrespecting Kyrie like that?
Because he's never lost a first-round game.
And 16-0.
A lot of these things have to do with LeBron James.
Well, now the kids get to understand what a sweep feels like. Yeah, he's happy for that. Yeah.
You know, it's just so many of his numbers are piggybacking off LeBron. I understand that. And he made the shot to win the championship. You know, he's done all that. Hey, I love
and
watching
And most importantly,
him.
He's backing up what he said.
Yeah.
He said, playoffs come, we flip a switch. Well, he certainly did.
Did you see his book when he was getting on a plane?
No, what's he got?
The National Geographic World Atlas book. So he's studying up.
Any photos from outer space that prove the world is round?
No. So there you go. I don't get the whole Atlas thing. Why do you keep bringing up the Atlas?
What are you doing getting on a plane carrying a Nat Geo World Atlas book for? I mean, really?
It was a gift.
I think he's trying too hard. Like, that's
maybe he's learning like state capitals or something.
Right, maybe he's going on Jeopardy.
I don't think you can have it both ways. You can't mock the guy for being a moron, for not, you know, for actually thinking the world.
No one thinks he's a moron.
I think he's a moron for that stupid take about the world being flat.
Deep.
Moron.
Hear what Aaron Baines said about that? Aaron Baines' theory on that comment?
What?
He said it was a bit of a pink drink. They said, what's a pink? He was on a podcast. What's a pink drink? He said, you carry around a pink drink. So somebody asked you, what is that? So it's a conversation starter. He wanted to just have a conversation starter so we could talk about some other things. So everyone wanted to talk to him after that comment, and he got to talk about other things that he really wanted to talk about.
Wow, that's going to another.
So that he made himself look like a jackass in order
deeper.
To talk about something else?
Yes. Going to another level.
Conversation starter.
Oh, come on. There's no lack of people that would listen to Kyrie talk about things that are not basketball related, especially in this day and age. Make yourself available. People will talk to you about whatever it is you want to talk about.
Sure.
As long as it's not a bunch of nonsense. So, listen, I think he's a moron for that stupid flat earth thing. So I'm not going to mock him for the Atlas. Yeah, good for you. You want to know where things are. Have at it.
Science.
They don't teach that anymore in school. They don't
Science,
teach geography.
Geography. Yeah.
Globes.
I just don't think you can have it both ways. Oh, you idiot. You think the world is flat.
Anymore.
Oh, you're trying too hard. Trying to learn something. No, go ahead. Learn. Take a look at the maps.
I wondered if he'd have a problem with the Boston Globe, with that whole globe thing. If the Earth is flat, why would you, why would you think that the globe is fake news? Because it's
predicated on a lie.
On a lie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wondered about that.
You did?
You're from the globe? What's the globe?
These are the things that Dan Shaughnessy thinks about. These are the things that you...
Hardy likes there. That.
Yeah, no, he does. Yeah,
I know you do.
617-779-0985. Dan Shaughnessy is with us in studio. Coming up in about 20 minutes, we'll tell you what the latest addition is to Jim Irsay's memorabilia collection.
I know.
Yeah, we're going to get to that, another Dan. Guitar? I knew you would have a thought on this. Also, there's been another arrest in the prostitution case in Florida that is related to Robert Kraft. We'll tell you who got arrested related to the case coming up right after this.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
All right. Zolak and Bertrand.
That's a 3-inch difference between those two guys.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody, everybody.
Zolak and Bertrand with Dan Shaughnessy in studio with us. Make sure you check out 98.5thesportsup.com where you can stream us and get all the latest sports news. Make sure you download our app as well. Be listening on your smart speakers. There's been another arrest today in the Robert Kraft related case, and that would be the prostitution case in Florida. You've probably seen a picture of Shen Mingbi at some point before now. A redheaded woman, 58 years old. Yep. She was the person related to this case who was named in court papers but was not charged at the time. And her, you were able to see what she looked like. Dan, you've probably seen that photo by now, right? Because of the massage therapy license that she had in the state of Florida, as well as her New York state driver's license. Mm-hmm. Those photos were both published previously. Okay. She was not charged at the time, which led people to believe one of two things. She was either cooperating with police and cooperating in the investigation, or that she was suspected of being a victim of human trafficking. That is why it was believed that she was not charged. That has now changed. As it was reported this morning, one of the women accused, as I read from the story out of Jupiter, Florida, one of the women accused of performing sex acts on Patriots owner Robert Kraft and other men inside a Florida spa now faces prostitution charges in connection with the case, according to a arrest document. Shen Mingbi, 58, is accused of performing sex acts on 8 different men at the Orchids of Asia Day Spa in Jupiter. Those acts were captured on surveillance between January 19th and January 22nd, the police report in the arrest shows. That would mean that she is not cooperating and not a victim, certainly not a victim of human trafficking, because that's not what they do.
But we know the trafficking's gone, right? I mean, they admitted that themselves.
Yeah, they admitted that zero evidence.
Yes.
So that's gone.
But, you get that ranch dressing there.
But any notion that she was a cooperative is gone now, too. They're going after her.
I'll tell you, I have yet to see in recent days and recent weeks anything that goes against the defendants in this case and anything that aids the prosecution. Everything is going the way of Robert Kraft and the others who were charged.
What makes you say that?
Has the prosecution had a single piece of good news for their case in the last month?
Other than the tape,
let's say two, three weeks. What's going their way?
Well, what's not going their way?
Well, I mean, this right here.
Not what they said that
this
Friday.
This certainly doesn't strengthen the case.
When they all had that press conference, they were sort of taking a victory lap.
This sort of strengthens the claim that they should have never been, you know, taping what was happening in there because there was no human trafficking and that the premise of the entire investigation was bullcrap, right? Another person charged not with, you know, human trafficking, but with prostitution.
Right. That's all they've got.
Yes.
But we've known that's all they've got for like 2 weeks, right?
What do you mean? All they've got.
That all they have is a prostitution case.
Yes, based on
what... have human trafficking.
Well, they think, yes.
But one of the sheriffs involved in the case, Dan, as we know, has said repeatedly that he still believes that there was human trafficking but doesn't have the evidence to prove it.
Oh.
Whereas now the prosecutor in open court said last week it just wasn't going on. They don't have evidence to support it at all.
Right.
I would just say it's not going their way. It feels that way to
me.
Feels like every time there's some sort of new piece of information, they're not doing well.
You're going to arrest people and start trying to charge them and say, you know what, we got you on this. You better confess, or else if you do confess, or if you do implicate him, you know what, we'll be more lenient upon you. you might not be facing jail time. You might not be facing prison. You might not be facing fines.
There's also news today.
Seems like they're reaching
in the
right
last
now.
Couple of days that 31 people have filed a lawsuit. Nearly three dozen men and women have filed a federal class action lawsuit accusing the authorities in Florida of unlawfully videotaping them
women?
As they received legal massages at the massage parlor. Yes, 31 people. 31 John and Jane Does.
Who actually just went in for a good Swedish massage. Deep tissue.
They went in for a little table shower action. They wanted nothing more than that.
Maybe 12:30 in the afternoon. And you don't feel too clean. You need a shower. Table shower.
That Jupiter police unlawfully were videotaping them when they were not criminals. They did nothing criminal. They did not act in a criminal fashion. And they were there for nothing other than a massage, and that their privacy and their rights were violated.
It's starting to turn the other way to the point where, thank goodness, they think they had this billionaire or man with money that could actually lawyer up and fight this thing. And there might be other people that weren't really involved like this that have gone down in the past but didn't have the means to fight it. And now you got to do what Sheriff Billy Joe Himbob down there and his horse.
Oh, here we go again.
And pat himself on the back down there. I mean, he's the one that's really the one that's, you know, the pounding this thing. Like, it's there. It's not there. They don't have it. You don't go into a courtroom and say, we have no evidence of it. If you think you have it, you don't. I was, maybe. That's our defense. Maybe it's there.
It doesn't change, though, what happened.
It doesn't change the embarrassment.
It's still
absolutely
a house of
not.
Prostitution. And it's called for what it is.
But then it goes back to, okay, well, I thought this thing was going to get wrapped up quickly, right? This thing was going to be expedited. And here we are. We're still talking about it.
It's only April.
Another arrest.
It's only April. It's not like it's dragged on for years here.
February, March, April.
It happened 90 days ago.
They're trying to expedite it, but they got somebody who keeps fighting these misdemeanor charges with a venom that in likes of which had never been seen before in the state.
They don't know what to do.
Can't expedite. How can we expedite it? Guy wants a jury trial for this.
Jury trial. Yeah.
Got to give it to him. All right. That's what you want.
All right. You can have it.
That's what you want.
You can have it. Back to your phone. Scott's in Weymouth. Scott, go ahead.
Uh-oh.
What's up, guys? How we doing?
How you doing?
Hey, Scott.
What's up? All right. Couple quick takes.
What's up?
Here.
Boom.
Marchand needs to shut his mouth about the ice. First of all, and I'll tell you why, they're both playing on the same ice. If they have to play street hockey tonight, they'll both be running around in Nikes. But, however, if the ice is slower, which is softer is the term, that actually benefits the Bruins. They don't. You want to play on hard, fast ice, that benefits Toronto's speed, okay? So Marchand's an idiot for saying that.
Then why'd you lose two or three games here then?
Say that again?
If it benefits them, why did they lose two or three home games already?
Maybe the ice was fast for those games. When did he say the ice was no good? Starting when? Game what?
I heard after game 5.
Oh, well, there you go, you know. And, I mean, it's just a dumb... He shouldn't even be yapping about that going into a game 7. Dumb. I never liked him anyways. A dirty player. He straightened out his act recently. But, all right, and one more point. Obviously, go Bruins.
Yeah,
I think tonight the Bruins are 55-45 to win tonight. And you know what it's going to come down to? Mark my words. Puck luck. No, it's not brain surgery, but it's the truth. You're going to see a slap shot from Chara, it's going to bounce off three sticks, a knee, and an ass. And if it goes in the net, they're up a goal. If it doesn't, same thing the other way.
Bounce off that puck bad luck. Ice service.
Yeah.
Yeah. Puck luck.
That's what
puck luck.
You agree with Marchand.
Tonight?
What if they don't suck those pucks? What if those pucks aren't cold enough? They're not soaking
luck.
Them in that
puck
bucket
luck.
Ice.
That's exactly what Marchand was talking about.
Joe in Providence.
Play with a bouncing tennis ball. I mean, he doesn't like Marchand, but they're saying the same thing.
Is there any, Beetle, the Greslick's dad's on the Bull Gang, right?
Yes.
So does he have anything to do with this?
Maybe.
I mean,
I don't know.
I don't think he's the physical operator.
About the boards and the glass.
What's that got to do with glass?
I'm just asking. I don't know his specific.
I don't think the Bull Gang has anything to do with the condition of the ice.
Who's the ice master?
I think it has to do with who got the equipment.
You think his dad's a little bit put out about this for his friends?
He's probably bitching about it, too.
I don't think it's on them.
No, seriously. If your son's a hockey player and you talk to him and you work there, you know when you have bad ice.
They might be bitching about the ice, too.
I bet they are.
Joe's in Providence. Go ahead,
Boom.
Joe.
Boom.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hi.
So the lady down at the massage parlor, Lynn Ma, her last name's Ma, she was arrested in Oxford, Mass. For the same thing and sex trafficking. So there's a tie-in to Massachusetts. She had a massage parlor.
Yeah, near Worcester.
Charged with all the sex trafficking. Yeah, yeah. now down near Worcester. But yeah, she packed up and moved down there after she finished her probation and time in jail. So there.
I don't know how that's relevant. We've known that for months.
Yeah. I did not know that.
That was revealed.
This as closely as you
did. That was revealed in the days following the arrest.
Worcester.
Worcester. I don't know what good that does for us. She was arrested in the very beginning for running the whole operation. Yeah. She ran a similar operation here.
New York
picked
license,
up and
right?
moved to Florida.
Yeah. We've talked about
and she
that.
Did time here?
I don't think she did time, no.
He said she did time.
I think she paid a fine.
Yeah, I don't think it was that serious. Okay. Coming up next, the latest addition to the memorabilia collection of Jim Irsay. Shaughnessy knows the story. Nearly $750 million, I think, was spent. How much money was spent on this?
$718 million.
Was it millions? What was it?
Bargain.
$700,000.
Oh, good. So $750,000. I thought it was something completely insane. I'm like, what did this guy pay for it? $750,000 for a piece of music memorabilia. We'll tell you what it is next.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times. Yeah.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's home for sports.
Irsay, friend of Shaughnessy. Also an odd duck.
He's a very good friend of Stephen Stills. He gave Stephen Stills a championship ring. Did they win one? Yeah, they won one.
And then, you know, through that, he's a friend of yours.
Yes.
He also, you're friendlier with him, are you not? You say hello, he says hello back.
When I went to the meetings in San Francisco and Kraft gave up the ghost there about the Flakegate, yeah, he was helpful there. You know, he's a little kooky.
He was helpful?
Yeah.
In what way?
You know, are you guys, you know, Bob Kraft going to win this one? You think the Patriots are getting unfair treatment here? No. The report's a report kind of thing.
Oh, he was helpful in terms of the quotes he gave.
Well, in terms of what the tone was that led Bob Kraft to give it up. Remember Bob Kraft? That's where he gave up the ghost down there.
Yeah.
He's accepted all the penalties. That was in San Francisco at the
Owners' meeting.
Four Seasons, Ritz-Carlton. It was a sweet hotel. I remember I got to stay there. It was great. It was down there in the gym with John Mara in the morning.
It's stuff on cocktail napkins, right?
Yeah, there was cocktail napkin stuff there too. Yeah. It was with the.
It's amazing what get done.
Have you ever at any other time run into Jim Irsay and you guys have been friendly?
Only through Stills. You know, Stills
did. Been to a party together.
I can't say. That's a yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I can't say. I just remember I ran into Frankie Valli at the Four Seasons. I couldn't believe it.
Good one.
All right. Well, Jim Irsay has a large collection of music memorabilia. And he tweeted on Sunday morning, "I'm elated to now be the steward of John's Sgt. Pepper upright piano."
Oh, steward.
"It's a responsibility I take seriously with future generations in mind."
Yeah.
God bless him.
Hashtag getting them back together. Hashtag Beatles.
Way to go.
Getting them back together.
How do you get them back together? They're dead.
Only two of them are dead.
Yeah.
Use this piano. Get everybody back together.
Let Ringo come in and sing something.
The two dead ones all have sons. They have sons, you know.
Getting them back together. This means he owns other guitars then, because he has a huge guitar collection.
He owns the manuscript.
Remember he had them lined up down
is
the
that what's
hash marks?
Is that the main thing that's preventing a Beatles reunion? They just don't have the equipment?
We'd love to get these guys together. According to the Washington Post, Irsay's hashtag getting them back together reference presumably is to other purchases he has made, such as the Gibson guitar that George Harrison gave to Badfinger's Pete Ham and a 1966 Vox guitar that he purchased for $408,000 back in 2013. Those are parts of a collection of about 200 guitars, including some that belong to Prince, Jerry Garcia, and Bob Dylan that Irsay owns. In 2015, Irsay bought Ringo Starr's drum set for $1.75 million. So he's got Ringo's drums for $1.75 million. He's got at least one guitar from George Harrison that cost over $400K. This time he dropped $718,000 to get the upright John Lennon piano.
That was a bargain.
Does he give them back to the people then? Is that what they're getting them back together?
I'm the steward. I keep them in my room.
Beetle, if you look it up.
Future generations, I'm the steward.
Look up what he paid for... On the Road, Jack Kerouac of Lowell, Massachusetts. The original scroll of On the Road, which was written by...
Must be nice to have that money, that type of money.
And I know he bought that, I think, at auction.
But just to set... He's just got him set up in a room somewhere and just,
the
you know...
Beatles room.
He paid $2.43 million for the scroll of On the Road.
$2.4 just for the scroll of On the Road.
It's right. A gorgeous piece of paper.
Set it next to my piano. Sit down at my piano. Belt out a little tune of my own.
I was wondering if this
here
was...
we go.
Jam session.
Quentin, are you fired up, my man? We're gonna win 6 games this year. No, it doesn't. He didn't write Sergeant Pepper's on that. What did he write on the piano? Did he write the?
I believe. Well, I was the oh. The Imagine piano would be the one you'd want.
A Day in the Life.
That's a white one.
Yeah, he's got the piano where they wrote A Day in the Life, Good Morning, Beam for the Benefit of Mr. Kite, and Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. That's
right up his alley.
He's kind of a psychedelic guy.
That's his song, right.
A lot of substance in that song.
A lot of substances used to make that song.
One in my car with Oxy.
Newspaper taxes.
Briefcase full of money beside me.
What's up, Quentin? Hey, Peyton.
How many games did he get?
How obnoxious and pretentious.
Six.
I'm going to be the six steward games. Of this piano, yeah. Of an upright piano. And do what with it? Remember, look at it.
Keep it in the corner.
Remember you had the ding button when he did the Peyton Manning press conference and how many he said? That was like 37 ums.
I was living in Baltimore when the old man owned the Colts, and you know, because he's the guy who moved him out of there, and the Mayflower Movers.
Yeah, Bob.
And he was, I would say, he was drunk a lot. You know, the old man. I mean, there was some epic press conferences with Bob Irsay. You could look that up sometime. It was like Homer Simpson stuff. You know, it was just like tremendous. He would give these quotes and say great things.
It goes down a weird road, too. Belichick, even, like, when you start talking great quarterbacks over the years, Burt Jones is his name.
Burt Jones had a cannon.
Yeah. He's like, oh, Burt Jones.
Threw it too hard. They couldn't even catch it.
Yeah. Imagine is the song that you want, or the piano that you want.
Yes, that was a white, I believe it was a stand-up white piano.
Yeah.
For Imagine.
I mean, that's the classic,
epic, yes.
The classic piano radio.
What's stand-up? The one that flips up? Is that a grand
piano? In other words, it's not a... The Steinways are all flat.
You know,
it's straight up. Yeah, it takes up less space in your house.
Like you put it up against the wall.
Yeah. Yeah. Like jelly rolls.
If your kids take piano lessons, you want the stand-up because it doesn't take up the whole room.
My sister had one.
Yeah, those are good. Yeah, they're good for...
They don't look as nice as big flats.
No, but you need a giant room.
Like the Lady Gaga Bradley Cooper one.
The grand piano, you need a giant room. It takes up the whole room. Forget
nice.
It. Yeah, forget it. Stand-ups are good. I have a stand-up.
You got a stand-up?
I do, yeah.
Yeah. Who plays it?
Not me. Yeah, no one really.
Did your kids play it?
No.
So you just have the piano?
No, when people come over...
Does your wife play? Who plays?
She's played a little bit. And there are people who play. Like, people come over...
You get some weird crap in your house.
One of my son-in-laws plays, you know. Yeah.
Dan's got the racket for, like, killing the bats.
This is it.
Imagine there's no prescriptions.
When I was in middle school... You know how you have to write poems?
If we could only be so free.
Fired up.
Eighth grade poetry class. One of my classmates submitted this poem, Imagine. He just rewrote Imagine, and the teacher was such a dumbass. She was like, oh, Scott's poem is so elegant. And she's reading it aloud.
She had no idea.
Imagine there's no heaven. And everybody's like on the floor rolling around laughing, and the teacher has no idea.
This wasn't like a hipster song. Everybody knew this song.
Yeah, how old was the teacher?
Not Mrs. Allard. No, she did not know. Scott, he really hit he did great work on this poem.
Like Canada, to get your prescriptions filled.
Excited.
And then Forrest Gump, it's the inspiration. Forrest Gump inspires the poem.
Wait, did you say in your eighth grade class?
Yes. Yes.
Hold on.
You're trying
second.
To date
Tyler.
Them.
Yeah, I am.
Maybe it was high school.
When did you graduate high school?
71.
They call him doo doo.
So it must have been college. High school. Must
wow, you're
high
a hippie.
Did Stone come out in 70?
John Lennon Imagine came out in 1971.
70. Oh, so it's right on. So I was in high school. So that's even worse that the teacher didn't know. Junior high, you kind of forgive that.
Yeah.
Off, you know, but high school, you gotta know that.
That's a big song when it came out.
Oh my God, it was huge. Yeah. It was the first single, you know. That was when the Beatles were breaking up and they were doing their own thing.
Well, you didn't get that piano.
Well, John. Yeah, the white one.
No, he's got the Sergeant
stupid upright.
Stupid upright.
Psychedelic
well,
Sergeant.
He's getting them all together. He's getting them all together.
He's getting the band back. Getting the band back together, man.
Yeah. Did the Patriots play them this year?
No.
No.
No. Game this year?
We'll not see them in the playoffs. We'll get them at divisional round here.
More tomato cans.
Oh, they are.
What's up, man?
No, I'll ask Stills about it. Stills is tight with this guy. I'm telling you. Yeah. Championship ring, Stevie Stills.
That's great.
Beverly Hills.
So you've been to a party with Ursay. You're obviously very close with Stephen Stills.
Still, he dedicated the stadium. He sang the anthem.
Right, of course. Of course. Yeah, have you exactly. Have you received any pieces of music memorabilia in all of your with all your rock star friends?
Well, I mean, you don't want to disclose that stuff because then people will rob your house.
Okay, so the answer is yes. The answer is yes. But you don't want to tell us about it.
No,
fine.
No, that's not it.
All right, Ursa.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.